Let's talk to our Eagles reporter. Elliot Stewart Parks does a wonderful job covering the Eagles. Who would have thought 2 weeks into the season there'd already be this much consternation? Good morning, Elliot.
What's going on? How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Doing
Let's just start with where we just were, Elliot, and then we'll broaden it out. Who do you blame the most for the lack of success with Hurts and Goddard? Is it to Goddard? Is it Hurts? Is it Goddard? Or the coordinators through the years?
It's a great question, and I really think it's a combination of Hurts and the coordinators. I don't think it's Goddard. Goddard, when he's had chances, I think he consistently makes the most of them. I definitely think if you put him on a team where he wasn't the fourth option, if not arguably the fifth option on offense, I think he'd put up better numbers. But I think it's on the coordinators to make sure he gets more involved, especially in a week like last week where we saw if they want to get the ball to somebody like Covey, they can get the ball to somebody. I mean, he had all those targets, right? Like, so it's on Goddard. But I also think Jalen doesn't really love to throw the ball over the middle of the field, especially in that short to intermediate area. He'll go deep down the middle of the field, but he doesn't really attack the middle of the field that much. And so I think that's, you know, where most tight ends work, and that's certainly where Goddard probably would be at his best. So I think it's a combination of those two things.
Elliot, I saw a tweet it was either after or during the game the other day. It's a listener named Ryan. And I thought this was a fascinating tweet. Tell me if you think this guy's on point. This guy tweeted, I think Hurts can't see with the tall lineman, and I think that's not being talked about enough. And it's a reason why he doesn't step up in the pocket. And he goes, the other reason he probably doesn't feel comfortable and why he steps out of the pocket. Like, he's not a tall quarterback. Do you think that's an under-discussed reality that affects the Eagles' offense?
It probably is under discussed. I mean, it's certainly something I've highlighted in like have over the past few years. I mean, he leaves the pocket way too early. And so I think there's probably a couple reasons for that. One is what you just said. I do think when you have, and now you add Mekhi Becton in there, just the height of their linemen with an undersized quarterback doesn't make it useful. But I also think the other reason he's leaving the pocket really early is you watch the tape of these first two games and you watch the end zone deal. If his first read is not there, like you can see at the snap, he looks in the one direction, and if it's not there, he's almost always escaping the pocket. So I think it's a number of things, but it's definitely an issue. I mean, the more I watched that Atlanta tape from last Monday, I thought like the worst the game looked for him. I thought there was a lot of times he left really clean pocket.
Wow. And Johnny Wilson's injury, he's going to be back this week. What's the word on him?
So he did not practice yesterday. In addition to AJ also missing practice, plus Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, obviously out. So, yeah, I mean, Johnny Wilson, you know, has been, I don't want to say an important part of the running game, but his role as a run block wide receiver. Yeah. I mean, important might be strong, but he's been involved.
In double digits, and they make him the sort of like the lead blocker on a lot of these runs when we're going outside. Like, you go cover someone up and do a great job with it, and he's been very successful at that role.
Minus that huge holding penalty.
Wow, that's right.
That hurts, too. But CJGJ also. Yeah. Like, so CJGJ, where is he? Johnny Wilson, where is he? And how much does that affect our bottom line for this game?
So I would be surprised if Chauncey Gardner-Johnson played on Sunday.
That is,
now, we'll learn more today. We'll get a chance to talk to Nick. They'll have practice. So I think I'll have a better feel of that leaving the NovaCare today than right now. But I just think when you suffer a foot injury during practice, the chances of you playing on Sunday feel slim. Wow. And if he doesn't play, they have a few options there, two of which start with moving Avante Maddox to safety. He took way more reps at safety in training camp than he did at nickel corner, so they could potentially move him there. And if they do, then they have to decide, do they move Quinion into nickel and start Isaiah Rogers on the outside, or do you start Cooper DeJean? Is this the chance to finally get Cooper out on the field and keep Quinion on the outside? So if Chauncey doesn't play, they could go that route. They could start Tristan McCollum, which I doubt they would do, but it looks like they're going to figure something out for Sunday.
And how does this team generate more pass rush?
Well, their guys need to be better up front. I mean, there's really only two ways to generate a pass rush. You either win with your linemen up front or you blitz. And through 2 weeks, it's pretty clear Vic Fangio is not going to blitz. He's 29th, I believe, in the league in blitzes through 2 weeks. I know we love to criticize Gannon when he didn't blitz, but Fangio is just sitting back there and doing nothing as the pass rush is not getting home. So either Fangio has to change what he's doing or the guys up front have to start winning. And I don't think either is very likely, to be honest. I think that, you know, for all the issues we've talked about with this team, the pass rush feels like the one that I don't think there is a clear solution as to how it's going to
Well, you know
what,
while we're on this, Elliot, I want to play some audio of Nick Sirianni because he addressed this week with us the pass rush. James, let's play both pieces of audio we have of Sirianni talking about it, starting with James, as we labeled it, Sirianni 2. Here's Nick Sirianni earlier this week on our show on the pass rush.
Nick, are you concerned about the pass rush?
You know, we didn't get the pressure that we needed in must-pass scenarios. That there's no doubt about that. But it just doesn't display into the pass rush. We didn't cover good enough in those areas as well. And then as far as the rest, like I'm thinking of two-minute, and you asked me that, I think of two-minute, the two-minute drive. I don't think about, you know, you have to earn the right to pass rush. And what do I mean by that? You have to play first and second down, or, you know, first down to get them in second and pass, or third down and pass. You have to play those good. And quite frankly, we didn't play the run good enough. And that, you know, we got to help them out as coaches, but we also got to make sure that we, you know, at the end of the day, football is, did I tackle well enough? Did I get off blocks well enough? Right? Those, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You have to do those things in order to succeed. And so you have to earn the right to pass rush. And we didn't do a good enough job on that. We held the score down. But again, we didn't, like, it's, you know, in the scenario of the 2 minute, we got to do better. Yes. But on first and second down, we got to do a better job in the run game and to get into those scenarios.
All right, so that's Sirianni, and he's talking, obviously, about the run game and how it impacts the pass game. But he gets more specific, and it's declarative. And I understand why, as a coach, he said this. I wonder if he meant it. Here's when Sirianni continued talking about specific players.
I know we have the right guys. I know I've seen these guys do. I've seen Josh Sweat be a menace to the quarterback, and Brandon Graham and Jalen Carter. You know, I've seen Bryce Huff do it. I've seen these guys do it. And now it's earning the right to pass rush, and when we have the opportunity to go out and do it. And, you know, sacks, you know, are weird. Sometimes sacks come in bunches, right? Sometimes you're quiet, boom, and you hit a 5-game one. So, no need to hit the panic button, but we know we need to do better in that area, and we will.
I say this, Elliot, Josh Sweat, who we referenced, this is incredible. I don't know how many people know this. He has not had a sack in 10 games.
No way.
Wow.
Okay?
So that's time to hit the panic button.
Let me say this. Regular season. He got one in the playoff game. So just to be fair, he got one versus Tampa.
Okay. Well, still.
But regular season.
I don't care.
Regular season.
He got one sack in the last 10 games.
Or 11, put another way.
Sack in the last 11 games. Time to hit the panic button. That's not good enough. That is not production. That we need production. We need to get quarterbacks on the ground. That threat needs to be real. The front needs to work in conjunction with the back end. And our secondary is really showing signs of being good, youthful, you know, ahead of schedule, precocious.
So, Elliot,
but it's not going to be if we can't get to a quarterback.
Elliot, what happened to Josh Sweat? I mean, he was, you know, pretty decent. What happened to the guy?
Yeah, I think that obviously over the passing games he's not played well, and I know that's not like the spiciest answer, but he's been really bad for the last 10 games. So you have to wonder, is that who he is now, or is he the guy that was, you know, a pretty good pass rusher? Obviously, he was an alternate, but he was a Pro Bowler, you know, in 2022. So, like, he's played at a high level. But, yeah, I mean, to go to the Nick audio, too, I'm just not sure if they do have the guys. Like, I understand he has to say that as a head coach. But
right.
To your point, Joshua's not played good in a while. Brandon Graham is probably their best total edge rusher, to be honest. And that really kind of says it all. And props to him for his 16th year being that. But that's not really what you want. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think they're handling Bryce Huff the right way. It's a disaster right now on the defense.
Yeah. Hey, Elliot, enjoy the game. And we'll see if it's an Eagles win. We'll talk to you next week and appreciate you being a big part of the show. Thanks, pal.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, Elliot Shore Parks. All right, so Beat the Hammer coming up in about 4 minutes as I go for victory 261. We'll take the fifth caller on the contest line, caller number 5 at 215-988-1258. Caller 5. 215-988-1258. The fifth caller will play Beat the Hammer coming up shortly. Let's go back to the phones. By the way, Josh Sweat at his worst, better than Taiwan Walker at his best. Let's go to the phones. Brandon right now. Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning, Joe. How are you today?
Good, buddy. I wish I Taiwan wasn't a Philly for the next 2 years, but, you know.
That makes it all Philadelphia.
Look, they're going to have to cut him. They're going to have to just either cut or trade him in a salary dump and pay the money. Like, they can't roll him out there again next year. They can't. The guy obviously does not have it anymore.
I agree. I'm hoping who's that guy, Painter?
Painter.
Come up next year.
Yeah, I don't know if that's April 1, but I would imagine by the summer, as long as he's healthy. And I think he would have been their plan this year. But you know what's stunning to me, Brandon? Stunning. That you don't have anyone else in the minor leagues in the absence of Andrew Painter. You don't have anybody that can give you six runs and give up three runs.
Yeah.
Or six innings and three runs. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, I agree. But I did have a question for John.
What's up?
John, I hear you're optimistic about the upcoming Eagles game. But my question is, I had yet to see the Eagles defense stop the run. And now you're going against Alvin Kamara.
Right.
How the heck are you going to stop him?
You're going to have to be disciplined. You're going to have to be gap secure. This team is getting reamed all week long about failing against the run last week against the Falcons. You know, Bijan Robinson, the outside zone, getting covered up, giving up the edge. You know, not setting that edge, getting outrun to the edge, getting just completely swallowed up by offensive linemen, velcroed by blockers. That's across the board the litany, like the refrain all week long. These coaches are destroying the Eagles players for their poor play. They're going to show up. They're going to be ready to stop the run. I know that this is a really solid approach. Like, Clint Kubiak, he's good. He's well-planned. He's ready to run the ball against any look. No matter what we put out there, it's going to be a matter of who wants to out-tough the other side. And I'm telling you, this Eagles group has something to prove. Vic Fangio has put them in a position this week. Hey, who's tough? Who's going to be tough enough to play for me this year? Go out and prove it against this Saints team that everyone thinks is all that and since sliced bread. Like, go out and show the world that you belong, that you're the tougher team. I think we can do that.
Well, Fangio and Kubiak, I also think, were OC and DC together in Denver. So that could work to our advantage, right?
Or disadvantage.
Well, I'm trying to be positive here, Joe. Okay?
They know each other's
tendencies. I'm looking for silver linings.
Yeah.
Could work in our advantage.
Brandon, I'm concerned, man. I do think the Eagles are going to lose. Now, obviously, I don't say that with, you know, phenomenal conviction, because, of course, the Eagles could win the game. But, man, no AJ. Jalen shakier than I think people have realized. D-line troubling with the run and the pass. Road game, short week after a Monday night game. Like, that's a tough one.
And a road game in a really tough place to play, too.
Yeah, that's not good. All right, Brandon, give me a great answer for a notable club.
I also don't know if they have the talent on the line, to be honest
with you. Wow, I agree with you. Totally.
But,
although Jalen Carter is. He's got to step his freaking game up.
Yep.
Yeah. But there's another paintball on that team that you need to step up, too. Famous club, I'll go with Playboy. Club.
Yeah, that's a big one also. We got some dirty dogs out there, but the Playboy Club is certainly one of them. All right, Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Two different poll questions. Who wins Sunday? Will it be the Eagles or will it be the Saints? Second poll question of these two, which would you prefer for where the Sixers play? So we're taking out South Philly. We all know they're not going to be staying there forever, okay? So if it comes down to Camden or Center City Philly, and it'll probably be Center City Philly, okay, with the mayor's support behind it, but we will just ask you, based on your own circumstances in life, where would you rather the Sixers play, Camden or Center City Philly?